championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Baser, and I'm joined alongside by Darius Terrell, as always. You guys are listening to the Hornscast channel, which you guys can find on any podcasting platform. Just go to your favorite, it's right there. Today we're going to be joined by Donald Hawkins, the former all-conference player for the Longhorns back in 2011 to 2013. He then bounced around the NFL for a few years. And now is training a lot of really highly rated recruits and Andrej Karic, who's going to Texas. Talk to him about his time at Texas, his time in the NFL, and his time with some of the current recruits. Then we're going to talk about how the coronavirus is affecting recruiting. How are the coaches going about recruiting now? Is this hurting Texas' chances with anybody, or is this okay? And how the coronavirus could affect the 2020 season. So let's get right into it and bring on Donald Hawkins. So now on the line, we have former offensive lineman for the Longhorns all the way back in 2013, Donald Hawkins. Donald, how are you doing? How are you hanging in there during all this coronavirus whatnot?
Man, I'm doing well, man. Definitely coronavirus all caught us off guard. A little difficult, man. Haven't been able to train my kid. Just staying glued to the TV like other people, trying to find out what's going on.
Well, let's go ahead and try not to think about all this stuff for now, because I was reading up on you and you seemed way back when you just started playing football, you considered yourself a skill position player. When did you realize that wasn't going to happen and you're going to end up on the line? And how did you adjust to that?
I think it happened my first year playing organized football, the seventh grade. I tried to try for quarterback. As soon as I told them what position I played, I said quarterback, they know you're going to play on the offensive line. I was like, dang, you know, I grew up playing a lot of stand-like football. If you don't know what sound like football is, just pick up football. So it was on offensive lines playing that, so it was always skill position. Quarterback, receiver, running back. So I've always been very athletic and quick. So when I made the transition to O-line, it was pretty easy because I was, you know, already athletic and very quick. So it was an easy adjustment for me.
So, Donna, what was the transition like? Going from, you know, of course you started off, you went from high school, you went to JUCO before you went to Texas. What was the transition like going from the junior college ranks and going to a big FBS level college like the University of Texas? What stood out the most to you with that experience?
To be honest, it was the coaching. Going from someone telling you to do this and do that to going to a new team where the technique and fundamentals was totally different. So you had to start off dumbfounded. When I say dumbfounded, from a different foundation, fundamental and technique. The biggest thing I found challenging was the schematic. Coming from a spread offense, everything was in the gun. For my first year, I was at Texas. I think it was more of a pro style in the center. A lot of check with me, go type of plays, and I wouldn't necessarily say the speed of the game was fast. It was just more schematic. I think that the hardest thing I had adjusting with more than anything was running knee braces. I could never get the hang of that. Even when I graduated, when I was a senior, I just sneak and take them off during the game. And for me, it just slowed me down and just made me unathletic. I have to say the adjustment wearing the knee brace is probably the most hardest thing I ever had to deal with.
Well, for those who didn't play offensive line or college ball, why did they make you wear the knee braces?
I think from the standpoint of injury, but man, playing in the NFL, nobody wears knee braces, so That's a great question. I don't know what the reason why they make kids wear knee braces. It's to prevent, lower body injuries. But as you can see, people in high school, people in NFL, they have less injury without them. So I don't know. I wish they'd get rid of them, but it is what it is.
So you've gone up against some all-time great defensive linemen in your day, whether it was in college or the next level. Who would you say was the most difficult matchup you've ever faced?
It's kind of hard to answer that question because professionally, all the guys are pretty good. I was always a kid that got better with repetition. So going against the good guys, or what you call the marquee guys, it just made me play better. But a guy that I thought that had speed, the power, it's a guy you probably don't know of, but I think it's Olivier Vernon. Played one with the Dolphins. I'm getting like a one of the highest paid contract at that time with the Giants. A guy that could play in space, a guy that was fast, a guy that was strong, and a guy that kind of knew leverage. I think he was a tough matchup, man. He made at that time, I was a young guy. He made practice very difficult for me. And just going against him, it just made me better, man. But he was definitely, at that time, one of the marquee rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, he's still playing.
Olivier Vernon. Yeah. That's one name. You're right. I've never heard that one. That's an answer I haven't heard.
He was he got one of the highest contracts in the league like 3-4 years ago. He's still playing. He's still making double digits every year, too. With that salary. So he's still doing his thing.
So then on the other side of that, Donald, how about the best guy you've lined up alongside? Who is the best player you've ever played with?
I was more of his backup than I played with him. But a guy named Tyron Smith, my rookie year in the NFL, I was his backup. At that time, I was undrafted guy, just getting his feet wet. Made the active roster, didn't really know what to expect going forward. But he was definitely a guy that I looked up to, and I still look up to him now. Just the way he carries himself and the way he plays the game and the way he dominates the game. The guy's a freak of nature, 36-inch arms, 550-pound bench press, athletic to run. And he just dominates, man. The thing I like about his game, that's the way he pass protect. When you think of a franchise left tackle, you think of a guy that can protect the edge and do it at a very consistent high rate versus top marquee players. And he's probably I don't know how many Cowboy games you watch, but he's probably one of the only guys I saw that shut down. What's the guy that played for the Bears in 52?
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
I was thinking Brian Urlacher, but I don't know if he was 52.
Khalil Mack. That was the first time I ever saw offensive lineman take Khalil Mack out of the game, one-on-one by himself. And obviously Tyron been hurt over the years, but he's, in my opinion, he's still one of the top tier marquee offensive tackles in this game, man. And a lot of young kids are listening to this podcast. I think you guys should go watch his film. And the way he plays the game is amazing, man. I think my first year in the league, I think it might have been his fourth year in the league, he was already getting comparisons about this kid's going to be a Hall of Fame top offensive lineman. And ever since then, he's been living up to it, man. Great football player, one of the best to ever play, in my opinion.
And while you're at it, kids, go and watch Brian Urlacher. He was 54 and not 52, but that's another guy you should watch.
Hey, Donald, talking about offensive line play, with the position being, so technical for some people, of course, some guys, like you just mentioned, a guy like Tyron Smith, who's just a physical marvel, they kind of can do their own thing. For these guys that do these recruiting rankings, even for college coaches, for college scouts, for NFL scouts, it can be really hard sometimes to gauge, who's really what, who's capable of what. And, you have a lot of bust along the offensive line. And, having been a guy yourself that, initially was passed up a bit coming out and ended up having to go JUCO, in your opinion, what is it that you think most of these college programs fail to see when they're evaluating these young offensive linemen?
Well, just to clarify, I went JUCO because I didn't qualify out of high school. A lot of things that people miss out on, I think just from talking to some of these colleges, I'm trying to get some of my guys recruited. I think they put too much investment in prototypical size. At the end of the day, man, size don't win you ball game. You catch my drift? Sure. If I'm scouting, I'm looking for a guy that can play. Can he come in now and can he contribute to my ball team? Does he make my offensive line room better? And I think a lot of these coaches and scouts and recruiters, they look at a kid with size and think, oh, well, he has the size. I could teach him the technique and fundamental. But sometimes they go away from watching the film. How does he play? How does he move? You know, and the guys that checks off the box and everything except size, they get looked upon and they mess out. And those are the guys you see be undrafted or walk on. They go on to be all Big 12, all SEC, all pro bowler. They could always play, but they just didn't have the typical prototypical size. And I think that's a thing that, you know, college coaches and pro coaches just need to start looking at. Can the guy play? Does he play? Because at the end of the day, if you don't win ball games, your job is in danger. And I think every coach is in the business to win ball games. And, you know, choosing a guy of size is not going to win you ball games, man. Simple as that.
Yeah, I can think of two examples. And they're on the other side of the line, but two examples of that in Aaron Donald and Puna Ford.
Exactly. Absolutely. Puna Ford is 5'11". No one ever would have thought this guy would be an NFL starter in the NFL. Guy can always play. Only thing he ever lacked was size. And at the end of the day, man, you're trying to win ball games. You know, when your job is on the line, you're going to put the best product on the field. So that's why I don't understand when people are looking for players that look at size. And it makes no sense to me. What you're looking for is not on your rosters. You catch my drift?
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So speaking of guys who flew under the radar, might not have the size, Andre Kerrich. He was a guy who wasn't on the big board of a lot of major programs around the country. What are people missing in him specifically? And what are your thoughts on his game since you work with him so closely?
I think a lot of people watched his film and knew this guy could play. But just like when you're going to buy cars or you buy groceries, meat in particular, it's called a meat market. You always want the best-looking object, whether it's a Mercedes, a pack of steak. You're trying to get the package with the most to offer. So I always brag on Andre a lot because he has so many things that I wish I had when it comes to the length, the ability to – he's fast, he's quick, athletic, and those are the things that – that you see on Sunday. He has the quality to be an NFL O-lineman. Not saying that he's going to go or not, but if he doesn't go, it's because he didn't try hard enough. But he definitely has the talent and the tools. And I can go on and brag on him. I think the word of the kid, he works his butt off. He tries to learn the game and man, this guy has extremely talent. At this point, is just going to Texas and doing what I know he can do. And once he get in front of the coaching staff and the organized practice, the same thing I'm telling you, I guarantee it's going to be quoted by one of the coaches come fall practice. And I won't be surprised if he's starting, man. He's that type of a talent. And I'm not saying that because I trained the kid and being biased. He has NFL talent, and when you can get an NFL talent like that in your program, it's a plus, man.
So let's transition to another guy that you work out with, that you train a lot. What is it that makes Tommy Brockemeyer so highly touted as a recruit?
Man, Tommy is a kid that I don't say there's a lot. You have some kids that you have to train to get the potential out of them. And you got some kids that was born to do this. Tommy Brockmeyer is a kid that was born. He's physically talented. When I say physically talented, he's a guy who can go out there with not the best technique and still dominate a guy. And it's just something you can't teach, man. And you see that on Sunday. Some guys don't have the best technique, but they still dominate the block. And when you're talking about being physically dominant and physically gifted, he's a kid that checks off all the boxes. Athletic, mean, nasty, has great size. He's physically gifted. Tommy is another guy that's going to have the ability to play on Sunday. NFL talent. Dad played 9 years in the NFL. Come from a good background. Definitely looking forward to see what he does come this fall. I think the world of him too, man. Him and his little brother. Not little brother, the other brother, the oldest, but his twin. But guys, physical talent, man. Like I say, you coach good talent, and he's a kid that can have bad technique and still dominate the block. And ain't too much you can say because he's killing the kid. You catch my drift?
Yeah, kind of like what we were just talking about with Tyron Smith.
Yeah, he's dominant. He's just physically talented. He was born to play offensive line. I know you see some guys that was born to play running back, born to play receiver. He was just born with it. He's born with it physically. He's just born with talent.
Mm-hmm.
So then his brother, a lot of people see his brother, James, as an add-on to his twin, Tommy. What are your thoughts on James as a prospect?
Well, working with James over the summer and the fall, he's definitely a kid that became to his own. Initially, before I was working with him, he was a center. And at the time that we trained more left tackle reps because that's the position he was playing this fall. And he's definitely a guy that has blossomed into his own man. Tell you what type of work ethic this kid has. I think he was like 210 pounds. His sophomore year, right now, I think he's something like 270. So that tell you the type of work ethic this guy has. And he's a guy that plays center. Probably one of the smarter kids in my program, and I have a lot of smart kids. Extremely intelligent, understands leverage, understands angles. And he's another kid, man. If a college gets this guy on your own campus, you're gonna be extremely happy to have him. I think the world of James, man, his intelligence stands out more than anything. When I say intelligence, this is understanding of football, man. He's a guy that you don't have to tell to do something more than one time, and he already knows it. I think he's going to be a senior this year. I'm looking forward to seeing how he progresses going back to center, and I'm pretty sure he's going to do very well. And at this point, man, the three names you mentioned, man, those guys dominate high school level and have dominated high school level. I'm more intrigued to see how they do on the collegiate scale. High school, we all know what they're capable of. Now I put them on a level playing field, but God just is better than them. I want to see how they respond when it comes to that.
Yeah, that makes plenty of sense. So, I mean, it's died down a little bit recently in recent weeks. And again, you're around these kids all the time. But, you know, there's been a lot of speculation recently that, you know, the Brockmeyer brothers are headed to Clemson or they're going to Alabama. In your opinion, man, what do you think? If you had to guess, where would you put your money on them landing?
Great question, man. I don't have any involvement in their recruitment. Kind of to their dad and them. I can tell you that if those guys were to go to different colleges, I wouldn't be surprised. Once again,
really?
They are their own man. And they don't have to go to the same college. If one want to go to Texas, another want to go to Clemson, that's their choice. They don't necessarily have to go to the same school. But I don't know, man. It's when you think about Alabama Clemson, you think about a winning program, winning tradition as of recently. You think about a school like Texas, obviously their family went to Texas, graduated from Texas, dad played football at Texas. So I'm pretty sure Texas has a warm spot in their heart. But just like any other program, man, you have to win, man. So I think Texas start winning and start doing other things. I don't see why other schools, Texas, don't be in the same marquee with those other schools like those guys coming up. But I don't know, man. I feel like any school has a shot, kind of up to the Twins, what they decide and what, you know, these colleges bring to the table with them.
So what is the next step that you're taking in your life? You've gone, you played collegiate football, you played professional, you're now training guys. What is the next step that you're taking in your professional life?
Yeah, that's a question. A lot of people don't know this, but I went to CFL last year at the end of the season. I played in an exhibition regular season game to help these guys make the playoffs. So right now, I'm kind of lukewarm, but going back. I did have aspirations of playing in the NFL. I'm only 27, and when you know you stay compared at a high level, you kind of, you don't have that drive to go back. But training these kids has definitely brought light to my life, you know, without, you know, being out of the NFL. But I'm definitely going to give it another try. Then after that, I want to try to coach collegiate football or the NFL, whichever come first, opportunity-wise. But, as of right now, man, I'm building my brand. I want to be considered as one of the top marquee offensive line coaches / trainers in the business, man. I think the work I do sells itself. The product I put out on the field sells itself. But other than that, man, I have to have aspirations of playing in the NFL. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. We'll love to coach college football. We'll love to coach NFL football. And kind of waiting, kind of putting like a hold on that to see what goes on within the next year. I have an opportunity to go back to the NFL. If not, I'm going to start pursuing my coaching opportunities. But other than that, man, I know you guys kind of mentioned some guys that I train, but I have more than those couple of kids. I have a guy named Jack Lear.
Shout him out.
Yeah, Jack Lear of the Highland Park High School right now. He just picked up his 7th offer, I think, from Houston. We have a couple of Power 5 offers from Colorado and can't think of the school name, but right now he's a hot commodity. Have a lot of other kids, man, as well as picking up offers, but I'm looking forward to those kids that kind of like on the borderline of like Power 5, FCS, start picking up some offers this upcoming spring. I know everything's kind of getting like delayed by the coronavirus. But yeah, man, it's definitely more talent in the program than those couple guys you just named. Got a kid going to Duke by the name of Allison Penn. I think he's a name that's in that program, has the opportunity to go in and start as a freshman. I'm looking forward to seeing him play as well. But man, when it comes to talent in my program, man, we're rich with talent, man. And so as well as the DFW.
That's very true. So, the DFW has tons of talent. Darius, before you go and ask a question, I want to ask you another question that we actually usually ask everybody who comes on our show who's played at Texas, but I just completely forgot. What was your best memory on the 40, whether it was on or off the field? And any funny stories of Darius are welcome.
Oh, yeah. So when I first got to Texas, right, JUCO transfer, a lot of people didn't know what to expect of me. All they knew was, why the hell is this guy coming and starting right away over these other guys? And Darius Terrell, I think, if I'm not mistaken, me and Darius Terrell played along with each other in that spring a lot. He was tight end, I was offensive tackle. So he would always make jokes and tell me he's not going to help me on this block. He wasn't going to tell me to play, or he wasn't going to give me a chip block. And it was funny, man. He definitely made the spring fun, especially me being a guy that didn't know anybody and didn't know what to expect, and I was struggling with the play and just going back and forth with him, telling him to help me out. These certain blocks, he's like, nah, I'm not helping you. But DT always been a funny guy, man. I hate that we didn't spend much time together. But he definitely helped me with my development throughout the spring.
What's up? Chip in where I can. But no, no, we appreciate all that. And so what's the name of, do you have a name of your organization or everything? You want to shout that out for the people to hear and everything?
Yeah, so the name of my organization is D-Hawk O-Line Performance. Right now we cater to the DFW, Fort Worth, South Lake, all the way to Highland Park. Looking forward to expanding my brand throughout Texas, then eventually all 50 states. Like I say, man, we're rich for talent. I got kids that have offers. I got kids that don't have offers. But when it comes to technical fundamentals, those guys have that. And that's what's going to get these guys recruited. Then eventually get these guys to play on Sunday. And I'm big about, man, I'm not teaching you to be a good high school football player. I'm teaching you to be a good pro, a good college, collegiate football player. Because at the end of the day, man, you could be a big, strong guy just go out there and dominate high school football. Doesn't mean that's going to translate to success in college. And that's what I'm about, man. I want to teach you the things that I didn't know until my third and fourth year in the NFL. So now I'm teaching you that at a young age. So this would be a cut walk, man. This is a cut walk. I'm teaching you things that I didn't learn throughout my fourth year in the NFL. We're talking NFL fundamentals and techniques that you won't learn unless you coach or played in the NFL. So this is your advantage. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. That's great stuff, man. Great stuff. So appreciate it.
Well, hey, Donald, thank you so much for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Where can we find you on Twitter or on the internet?
Mm-hmm. So the name, my name on Twitter is That Boy D Hall. I do a lot of posting and marketing on Instagram. The name of my Instagram page is D Hall O-Line Performance. Go through there, you'll see a couple of videos that you'll laugh at, a couple of videos that you'll learn from. I'm all about, you know, helping kids and giving kids the knowledge as well as coaches or guys that just want to, you know, interested in learning about O-line play. I give a lot out, man, and go check it out.
Good stuff. Well, thank you again, Donald, for coming on, man. It's a pleasure talking to you, and we appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
Again, thank you to Donald for joining us. Pleasure having him. Always love talking to those guys. But let's go ahead and talk about recruiting. We'll keep on with this recruiting theme here and bring that in with the theme of the month, the coronavirus. How is the coronavirus affecting recruiting? With all the closures in the United States, that also is affecting recruiting. As campuses are closed, there's less guys going out to see coaches face-to-face. Coaches can't go to these spring practices to see them face-to-face. These guys are missing spring games. These guys are missing spring practices. How is the coronavirus affecting the recruiting process for this year?
What this has done now for these kids that are high school, that are going into their senior year, guys that are going into their junior year, there's nothing else for these college coaches to be doing right now. They have the workouts sent out to their kids. I'm sure they've watched film from the past season three times through already. It's not really much film you can be watching right now.
They're sitting at home. There's no spring practice.
Right, but it's a live period for recruiting still, though. Just guys can't get out for face-to-face contact. So you got these guys sitting at home with 24 hours in a day. They've got nothing else to do besides blow these recruits up. So there's constant communication going on social media, constant communication going on in guys' text messages, constant communication going on any way they can. Like
FaceTime,
you talk about
FaceTime, Twitter, and, yeah, Instagram.
Like that. Right. It's constant.
Today, Kansas put out a virtual junior day on Twitter. Day. A virtual junior day.
How did that work?
They did video walkthroughs. They did Twitter. They reached out on Twitter. They did like FaceTime walkthroughs of the campus, stuff like that. Guys like Emmett Jones are having FaceTime walkthroughs with different players, having videos with different players. They have no spring practice to deal with, so they're coming up with new ways to engage these recruits.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. And what you've got to do is you've got to be innovative. You've got to be creative. You've got to be the guys to be one step ahead, you know, of your competition. And one thing to take into account with this digital virtual recruiting that's going on right now, some of these coaches that have been around for a long time, some of these older coaches, they might be at a little bit of a disadvantage to some of these newer blood guys, like a guy on Texas' staff, like a Jay Valai, like guys like Malcolm Kelly, like DeMarco Murray at Oklahoma. Like it's I think some of these younger guys might have an advantage on these older coaches. And what it's going to do, again, it's going to speed up the process for guys that aren't those marquee guys. And what's going to happen is when we finally do get cleared out of this thing, you're going to see guys immediately set their visits up to where they really want to go. I think it's going to cut some of the games down on the recruiting process that we've been seeing in the past. Guys trying to drag their recruitment out, you know, play the hat dance. I think we're going to see that a lot of that get cut off just simply based on there being less time. And we're going to see it get condensed a little bit. But yeah, it's really, you would think it would be quiet and things would be pretty calm right now, but actually it's the complete opposite.
Right. Yeah. With the contest around the present of the program, the future of the program has really started to ramp up. The looking forward, because man, I can't do anything right now. Let's go ahead and look forward to what we can do. It's guys like the really top of the top line, Tommy Brockermeyer, guys like that, who are getting their phones blown up and getting all these coaches trying to get in contact with them. I mean, I can't imagine what a recruit's phone. I mean, I know recruits get separate phones because one phone is continuing to ring off the rack because coaches, media are just hitting them up all day long. I can't imagine what it's like right now.
Yeah, then you got the telemarketers and stuff calling. You don't know hell. It's all, oh, their phone's not stopping. But, you know, hey, maybe, you know, bills are going to get pushed back for a month. You know, that phone bill, they can blow it up right now. They can get away with it.
Well, I mean, in people, I've seen the argument that the NCAA should make some changes here and call this a dead period so that there's no incentive or inclination to go out and see these guys face to face or for these players to come on campus. Off the record, yeah, here's the thing is, like we're talking about, this is still going on. I mean, the recruiting doesn't need to be dead period. It's just the campuses need to close, which is what they've done. And the coaches need to find out different ways how to get a hold of these kids, which is what they're doing currently. With all of these closures, though, are there any guys that this could hurt Texas's chances with? Guys like Sierra Wright or anybody else from outside the state? Because I think what's going to happen is with all this going on, with all these closures, the guys in state are probably going to stay in state because either they're going to have to make some really fast trips to get their official visits out during the year or during like a few weeks, or they're going to stick in state.
Yeah, I mean, and this is one thing that everybody's going to have to deal with. There's no way around this. You know, guys can't get out right now. I do think, like I mentioned a little bit a second ago, guys aren't going to have time to play the game, the recruiting game, and let things play out perfectly like they planned in their head when they were in middle school. They're not going to be able to release a top 12, then release a top 8, then a top 5, and then have a different set of three hats on the final day.
They're
not going to have time. I'm sure some of them will try, so guys are going to lose their spots. But it's going to force guys to speed things up. You're vying, you're competing with all these different, like Texas right now, Travion Henderson, who's probably the number one running back in the country in the class. Well, it's between him and Kamar Wheaton. Well, that'll continue to change. But anyways, Travion Henderson's one of the top running backs in the country. He's in Virginia right now. He released a top 9 that had Texas in there. Texas is in there, Oklahoma, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, Penn State, schools like that, et cetera. Cool, right? Great. You're in his top 9. Well, he only gets 5 visits. So from now until they finally decide that it's okay for guys to leave, Texas has to be in contact with that guy. Stan Drayton, the running backs coach, Tom Herman, guys have to be in contact with this guy, constantly recruiting this guy every day, nonstop, until this thing is finally over, just to make sure they secure a visit for when it's over, so that when it does happen, again, we're on an accelerated schedule here. You have to put yourself in position to be there in the end. So there are no breaks for anybody, even though nobody's moving around right now.
Yeah, but guys like Clayton Smith, who we were talking about earlier, who Texas had cut some contact with and now are trying to get back in with, was going to be coming into Texas for spring practices and for the spring game. Guys like him were guys who Texas could have used face-to-face time with, but now they don't. Get that.
I don't think it hurts as much with an in-state guy like Clayton Smith because they have a lot more opportunities still to come back. They can come back, you know, during the season. They can come back in the summer. They have more opportunities to come back. So I don't think it plays as big a part with in-state guys, you know?
Well, and also I don't like the fact that the quarterback room is getting games played with it and not being able to get a guy like Milroe back on campus to explain things like that. You know, I'm not a big fan of that, first off, the idea of playing games with him. But, you know, that's the thing you want to talk face-to-face with a guy about consistently, because they've already talked to him when he came to campus 2 months ago. But that's something you want to keep consistent contact and consistently keep a face-to-face communication and an understanding man-to-man while this is all happening, if they're going to go ahead and try to play games, which, again, I'm against. So
right. In Texas, in Yurch's defense, after the visit that weekend, he did make a trip out to Tompkins 2 or 3 days later to have that meeting. But definitely, you know, you're not getting that one-on-one time. You're not, all of your relationship building has to be done. Everybody's in a long distance relationship.
Yeah. That's
and,
true.
I'm a guy.
I was in a long distance relationship for 2 years. Man, really? People think, that's easy. No. That's a lot more difficult.
People thought that's easy. I was the guy that never. I would tell, I don't do long distance. It's not going to work. It's not going to work for me. Your imagination runs wild. I think it's a waste of time. But no, it's a lot of long distance dating that's going to be going on, hoping to connect.
You and I, our dating days are over.
My dating days, dating days long over, man.
My girlfriend, from the other room said, they better be over.
It better be. Nah, like when I feel like I hear some of the elders say, everything bought and paid for now. It's locked in.
That's true. So, I was wondering if this was going to maybe make guys push their timelines back due to all this. I know a guy like Bryce Foster has already pushed his back to the first National Signing Day.
A guy like Bryce Foster is allowed to push back. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But 98-99% of these guys aren't going to have that option or that luxury. They're going to have to make a decision. And schools are going to play on that, too. Don't understand. Schools are going to pressure kids, too. Be like, hey, we only got this amount of spots. We ain't got that much time. Folks are going to play on that. I'm really, really interested to see how this thing goes when everything gets cleared.
Yeah, it's going to be a funky wrench thrown into things. So we'll see what happens. But the coronavirus has also taken a toll on Texas's 2020 season. Now, especially with Texas and teams that are getting new coaches, because not being around the coordinators and not being around the coaches and their new systems is going to have an effect on the Longhorns. They're going to have to learn the entire offense and the entire defense and walk through them and learn that a lot quicker than they had prior to the coronavirus, right? You know, you can sit there and read a book and study up on something forever. You're still not going to have the exact same understanding and knowledge as if you were to run it through or walk through it and actually do it physically. There's just a difference there. So yeah, they might have an understanding of the scheme from, they can write it down on a whiteboard, but these players, what they really needed this year was, or especially in the spring, was an understanding in a coaching of fundamental football and getting back to teaching them to be football players and not how to run a scheme. But at the same time, they still need to learn the scheme. So you're two steps behind where you need to be without your spring ball.
I mean, you've got brand new coordinators on both sides of the ball. The good news for Texas, I think the hardest part, the most difficult part to get guys on the same page with on the offensive side. I mean, there are going to be problems in the passing game. Just, I think everybody's going to go through struggles in the passing game because you're not able to get that work in right now. But they have a senior quarterback, but at the receiver spot, you got everybody stepping into bigger roles. The O-line coach is back, though. Herb Hand is back. The offensive line, although you're replacing a few guys, you've also got some guys back. You've got some guys that are going to be stepping into a position that aren't young. Dazelle Okafor is entering his, fifth year in the program? Fifth year in the program.
12th year in the program.
Right. Tope Amade, 15th year in the program. Derek Kosterter, fourth year, a senior in the program. These aren't young guys. These are guys that are tested. These are guys that have been around. So I think the offensive line should be okay. The passing game, I think, it's going to take a while to get going, but I think that should be an issue with everybody.
Especially with all the new wide receivers coming in with lots of production.
Right, with timing and things like that. Absolutely. So I think Texas will have to lean on Sam Ellinger. They have to lean on the running game early on in the season. That's okay. But definitely the term, not being able to, you know, be in the terminology every day, constantly communicating on offense is super important because, you know, if a guy's not, doesn't get the right thing here, right? You know, the motions, the shift, one word in a call that you hear all the time could change, one guy's assignment completely. So, the terminology could mean one thing and that's meant one thing to you your entire career. You know, a post is a post. This coach calls it a skinny. So he calls in and calls, you know, 52X skinny. You don't know what he's talking about. Just terminology. You need time to get used to that stuff. And there's nothing, I don't think there's any way to accelerate that. I think that, you know, it is what it is. It's going to be a struggle early on in the season.
And luckily for the Longhorns, LSU is going to be going through something similar to this, where they also have two new coordinators, and which is going to come with a bunch of new terminology, and they're losing a lot of production.
And, I mean, I guess on the bright side defensively, at least Chris Ash was here. He got here, what, in October? So he got to see, you know, the final, what, two-thirds of the season. He's got a good idea what most of these guys can do. Although Craig Nyver was the interim defense coordinator during those 2 weeks of practices during that bowl game, I have to believe that Chris Ash had some input on what the game plan was. So I think we could see defensively, we could see them keep it simple like they did in the bowl game. You know, the good thing about defense is, you know, once you make a base call, you know, it's simple. End of the day, get the front of you, get the ball on the ground or get the ball in your hands. It's the end of the day. It's simple with defense. End of the day, somebody make a tackle.
When Todd Orlando was his best and was a simple defense.
Right. You're not trying to get too cute. Defense shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a whole lot of stuff you got to keep practicing. Make the call. Do your job. It's simple. But offense takes communication. The offensive linemen need time to communicate with the tight ends. The defense shifts after we made a motion, stuff like that. It takes time. It's going to be a little bit sloppy when we come back to this thing.
Right. The worst part about this and not having the spring ball is not getting that fundamental training is that what I was talking about, where they're teaching the players to actually play football and not just run a scheme, right? That's what you're hopefully getting in these coaches. That's what you were supposed to get. That's what Tom Herman was supposed to get out of these coaches, was guys who could actually teach how to play mm-hmm. football and not just how to run to a certain position and then stand there.
And they're not getting to utilize their best skill right now.
Exactly.
I feel you on that.
That's what I'm, you know, worried about when it comes to this, when it comes to not being around the coaches, not being around the coordinators, and not having spring ball, is those loss of reps and not the understanding of, you know, not on team, but more so the tackling dummy drills, the backpedaling drills and stuff like that, learning how to play. And when they do something right, saying, okay, this is how you did it right. And when they do something wrong, telling them this is how they did it wrong and this is how you can do it right. They're not getting that right now. And there's a bunch of guys who are going to be switching positions, like DeMarvian Overshown to linebacker, like Anthony Cook to nickelback, or even safety, Chris Adamora to nickelback, stuff like that. You know, there's an entirely new defensive line arrangement. Not being able to get those sort of tips, those sort of guidance from coaches is going to hurt come the beginning of football season.
You need time to develop that trust. And you develop trust, you know, in the heat of battle, you know, in those dog days. The spring gets tiring. And there's nothing, I don't know, you know, I don't know, there's no fix to that. But again, Texas is going through it more, a little bit to more so an extent than other folks because they have such a staff overhaul. But to an extent, everybody's going through a little bit of the same thing. We're going to see some ugly football when we do get back going. And I think it'll get better. It has to. Naturally, it'll get better as the year goes on.
Well, I think that's going to end up for us, y'all. This has been your 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. My man, DT, where can we find you?
Hey, y'all can find me on Twitter as well, @DTerrell, TERRELL05. Love to talk to you about anything that's going on. You know, we've got nothing but time these days. So,
yeah, man,
feel free to reach out.
You're dying without the Mavs. I'm dying without hockey.
Yeah, it's hard. It's pretty boring. I haven't played any 2K, any video games. I haven't been. It's been boring, man. It's been boring. But, you know, hopefully it's over soon. Folks need to stop going out, man. Stop being defiant. even if you believe in it or don't, you know, and I still don't know whether, I mean, I don't, what, it doesn't matter. Just get it over with. I mean, the longer folks are complaining about stuff being shut down, complaining about, sports not happening. Well, I know for sure if we don't just freaking get it over with, it's just going to get dragged. It's going to get dragged out even longer. So if y'all want stuff to come back, let's get the stuff over with now.
Right.
You know, get
right.
it over with. So
exactly. 100%. And just overall, stay safe out there, y'all. Really, watch your hands, be safe, be smart about things. That's it.
Yeah, be smart. I mean, human decency. I mean, we see every day, though. We see human. I mean, every day, hell, driving down the highway, you know, walking in the store, folks cut you off. I mean, just
human
decency. Stupid. It's gonna be more. It's gonna be more stupid stuff that happens. Folks choose just, I guess it's easier just to not do stuff the right way, you know? So
do stuff the right way. Make the extra effort. But thank y'all for listening, y'all. You can find us on the Hornscast channel and other podcasts like this on any podcasting platform out there under Hornscast. But on that note, thank y'all for listening, and we will see y'all next week. For real this time. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em. Wash your hands.